please do have a seat. And let's turn in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 2 this morning. Some words and some verses I want to share, particularly for those being baptized, but actually for each and for every one of us. God's word is for us all, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. So Colossians chapter 2, and let's read from verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Amen. This is God's word. Let's pray together for a moment. Loving God, in the stillness of these moments, we ask that you, by your Spirit, would come and speak your words deep into our lives. We pray that you would give me as speaker a clarity of thought and of speech this morning. I pray that you would give us ears to hear and to listen, eyes to see and to understand, a mind to process this morning. And Lord, yes, a will and a desire to apply that to our lives this day. Lord, this is your word for us, each and every one. Encourage us through it this morning, we ask, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Baptists aren't great for sacraments and ordinances and all of some of the ritual that sometimes comes into church life. But there are two ordinances, two sacraments that we believe in. The Lord's Supper, which we'll think on tonight if you gather with us, and baptism, which we're going through this morning. So with those two sacraments in mind, there's a story of a young Baptist pastor, fresh out of college. He was conducting his first baptismal service, and baptism is such a significant part of our Christian walk that he was getting himself all worked up. You can imagine he was just a little bit nervous, and in his nervousness, he got his scriptures confused in regards to the baptism and the Lord's Supper. He said, as he was standing in the tank with the baptismal candidate getting ready to put them under the water, he said, "I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And as he lowered the believer into the water, he said, "And now drink ye all of it." No need to fear this morning, young ladies. I'll not be making that mistake. Baptism is a significant part of our Christian walk. I mentioned earlier how it's very much a picture for me. It paints a lovely picture of a Christian life. And one of the bits I particularly like is the walking back out of the steps into that continued life with Christ. And that's why I quite like the fact that we actually walk not just up these steps, but we walk out here and out the door and away to get changed as well. We walk out of and away from the baptismal tank. Paul speaks of that in his letter to the Romans in Romans 6, where he says that we are buried with Christ and we are raised with Christ, and all of that in order that we might walk with Christ. Our Christian life is a walk. It is a walk with Jesus each and every day of our lives. We walk with him from the very moment that our eyes are opened and we see and we learn the truth of Jesus. Now we continue that walk as we learn more of him down through the days and weeks and months and years of our lives. And we grow up in him until that moment when we walk in obedience through the waters of baptism. And that's not the beginning, and it's not the ending, but it's a part of our continued walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. And we keep walking that walk until the day he calls us home, or until he comes in the clouds, as we sung about in our first song. Summer, Heather, Andrea have all been walking with Jesus for some time now, some longer than others. Each has come to a point where they trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and sought to live as a disciple of his from that moment. Now they want to obediently carry on that walk by being baptized. And I want to share these words from Colossians 2 to encourage them this morning in their Christian walk. But I want to use them to encourage all of us who are here today, and even the visitors amongst us, those who are maybe not sure what this is all about. I want to show you why these ladies are taking this step and what it means to live in obedience and to walk with Jesus Christ. Paul reminds us of our walk with God from the beginning through growth and obedience to completeness in Christ. And it begins. It begins with a commencement. Receiving Christ Jesus as Lord. He starts in verse 6 by saying, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord." There's a starting point for these believers that Paul is writing to, but there's a starting point for us. We receive Christ as Lord. Andrea did that when she was a young child. Heather's realized who Jesus was when she was young and has grown to know him more in recent times. Summer came to faith just in the last few years. But what does it mean to receive Christ? Well, it means that we receive the teachings about Jesus. And on the basis of that, we decide to put our trust in him. Paul uses that word receive several times in his letters. In his letter to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11, and we'll think a little bit on that tonight. He talks about the Lord's Supper. What I received from the Lord, I passed on to you. Later in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, he shares the very heart of the gospel when he says, "What I received, I passed on to you as of first importance." This is important stuff, he says. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and then he appeared to Peter and to the 12. Paul reminds them of the truth that they have received. They learned that Jesus was the promised Messiah, the Christ. He was the one the prophets spoke about. They were taught that Jesus died on the cross for their sins. In fact, Paul goes on in this very passage here to speak of that down in verse 13. He reminds us that we were dead in our sins and lost in our sinful nature. And the Bible teaches that right from the very early pages, if you pick it up and read it. Adam and Eve placed in the perfect garden, told to eat whatever they want except the fruit from one particular tree. And they lived in obedience to God for some time until Satan came and tempted them. And he showed them the pleasure they might get from eating that fruit. And so they ate from it. And at that moment, we are told that sin entered the world. And sin is disobeying God. Sin is doing that which he has commanded us not to do. Sin is going after our own selfish pleasures and desires and ignoring God. And sin has haunted people right down the years ever since. Sin leads us away from God. We reject his words. We rebel against him. We want everything our way. We want everything for our sakes to pot with anyone else, especially God. But you know, God cannot stand our sin, and he has to punish it. We're separated from God, the scriptures teach us, on account of our sin. But God loves his creation, and he longs to help us. He longs to restore us. He longs to call us back to him. And so Paul mentions there in verse 13 that he forgave us all our sins. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Jesus Christ, God's own son, became sin for us. He took our sin on his back as he died on the cross. And so to receive Christ means to believe that he died to save us. More than that is to believe that God then raised him from the dead, triumphing over sin and death and evil. And there's another important step. It's not about receiving Christ as if believing the message is all that we need, that gaining knowledge is all that is required. The message has to change us. We have to turn from our wicked ways and to follow Jesus. As Peter said in the book of Acts, when he was asked what people needed to do to be saved, he said, you need to believe and you need to be baptized. Repentance means turning away from that old way of living to live God's way from this moment forward. Receiving Christ is to experience that joy of saving grace. I am a hopeless, wretched sinner who deserves nothing, and yet God has poured his unmerited favor on me. And he's done that on Andrea. He's done that on someone. He's done that on Heather, as they testify to this very day. God, by his grace, has saved me. And he's saved you. Do you know that? Have you experienced the joy of knowing that your sins are forgiven? Friend, if you're here this morning and you've never responded to the gospel, then this is a moment. Receive Christ Jesus as Lord. The Bible teaches us if we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord, if we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. It is that simple. And yet it is that hard, because it means turning from human pride and recognizing that only Jesus can save us. Turn from your sin. Accept the forgiveness that Jesus offers. Crown him as Lord of your life. Would you receive Christ Jesus as Lord today? Paul starts by saying, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, but then he continues, he moves on by saying, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. From commencement to continuation. Continuation, walking with Christ. Here is where we grow up in Christ. We continue living in him. We continue growing more Christ-like as the days progress. You see, the Christian life is not a simple, you receive Christ and that's it. Far, far from it. This verse teaches us that receiving Christ is not the end, but rather the beginning of a joyous life united with our Savior. And we pursue that joy for an eternity. And we pursue that joy for an eternity by walking with him. The Greek word translated as live in some translations and walk in others means our life's walk. As we live for Jesus, we are to walk in all of his ways. Interestingly, that verb walk is defined grammatically as a present, an active, and an imperative. The present tense simply means that it's a continual activity. We don't just walk with him on the day we receive him. We don't just walk with him on the days that we feel like it. We walk with Jesus each and every day of our lives. It's an ongoing process. We continually abide in Christ, and that brings with it appropriate behavior according to what we learn and how we grow and how we develop and how we flourish. The active voice denotes the responsibility that comes on the hearer. Walking in Christ is not passive. Rather, we are to work out our salvation according to his power that's at work within us. We've got a responsibility to walk with Christ. Therefore, we must do all we can to ensure that that is accomplished. And of course, it's in the imperative mood, which quite simply means it's a command. We must do it. It's not an option. All Christians must walk in Christ. It's a command from God that requires obedience. You can't just say, I've prayed a prayer and I've received Jesus and that's it. There's a command for us to keep walking in him, to continue to live. So friends, continue to walk in him, continue to live for him, continue to grow in Christ. Andrea's readily been walking with Christ since she was a young age, neither turning to the left or to the right. Oh, like the rest of us, she's made mistakes and she's fallen and she's learned because she's a frail human being. Heather's been exactly the same. Summer's learning to do the same. In these days, we're all called to be walking in Christ. Paul lists four ways that we are to continue that walk in verse 7 there. He says, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. We are to be rooted. We are reminded that the beginning of the Christian life is fundamentally a new beginning. Our lives have been given a new basis and foundation. We've been rooted in Christ. And that picture's a tree, firmly rooted so that it gets water and it gets its nutrients from the soil to grow and to be healthy. It can withstand the storms that blow against it. It can endure times of drought because of its deep roots.
And the roots are hidden from view, but they're absolutely essential. Without those deep roots, the tree will fall over in a storm or die during a drought. When we genuinely trust in Christ, God roots us in Him. But we need to continually sink down more roots into Him. This is a hidden part of our walk with God that others don't always necessarily see. It refers to your heart before God and your time alone with Him. Some go to church and act like Christians. Outwardly, it seems that they are Christians, but in the hidden person of their heart, they have never truly trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord. They never spend time alone with Him. They are never seeking Him in His word and in prayer. And then a storm comes, and you know what happens? They crash because they weren't rooted in Christ. Friends, are you sinking your roots deep down into Christ today? And I'm not just talking about those who are getting baptized. I'm talking about all of us. Are we sinking our roots deep down in Christ? Doesn't matter how many years you've walked the Christian life, we are still to be sinking our roots down. Once rooted, we're to be built up in Him. This picture's a building under construction, and the present participle indicates steady progress towards completion. And if you've ever watched a building under construction, sometimes the progress is really evident. The frame goes up, the roof goes on. Other times you wonder, oh, what have they done this week? And that's because they were inside. They were working on the things that you couldn't see, the wiring, the plumbing, but they're essential for the finished building to function properly. And when you walk with the Lord, sometimes there are obvious changes that are easily seen by others. But more often, the Lord is steadily at work in areas that aren't as dramatic, but just as necessary. And you learn to trust and to obey Him on little daily matters. You give thanks rather than grumble. You put to death the lusts of the flesh. You speak kindly to others, even when they're a pain in the tonsils. You're gradually being built up in Him. And to be built up in Him will certainly mean exploring all that Jesus is and growing stronger and wiser from our dependence on Him. These three ladies haven't suddenly reached the end today by being baptized, but they are continuing that building work, that growing up in Christ, that being changed and transformed into His likeness more and more and more. Are you being built up in Christ? In order to have an understanding as believers, we have to be strengthened in the faith as well. That's the third thing there. The Christian faith is more than being taught the gospel. Important than that is. It's being established in faith. That is in the faith that you were taught. It's about strengthening that faith. It's about growing once more. And it's the third example that Paul gives of the urgent need to grow up to our full stature, this time in knowledge, to be strengthened in the faith or established in the faith, as it's sometimes put. It's to be consolidated in the truth. A growing Christian will be keen to keep on learning, eager to be taught more. Do you remember when you first came to faith, friends? Some of you this morning, do you recall soaking up God's word, being at every service to hear the word preached, going to all the small groups to dig deeper and deeper, learning more, delving into God's word on your own to learn more of God? Why did you stop? Why did you slow down? There are many Christians, and dare I say Christian leaders, who grow away from their gospel beginnings. They think they've outgrown such simplicities, which is precisely the kind of thing Paul will warn against in the rest of chapter 2. We are to grow strong in our gospel beginnings. We are to start with that childlike faith. We're to move from milk to solids. We're to start with that simple understanding and then to deepen that understanding. Paul said in chapter 1, verse 23, continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. Don't make it harder than it is. Stick to what you know. Build on those starting blocks. Don't turn aside from the key doctrines in Scripture. Keep on growing. Read Scripture simply. Where Jesus welcomed a little child and He said, listen, you've got to have faith like a little child. We don't need to have it all worked out. We don't need to be intellectual experts. Sometimes we need to come with that simple faith and read God's word with that simple understanding and to keep on doing it. And the fourth way to continue that walk is to be thankful. We're to be abounding in thanksgiving. We're to be overflowing with thankfulness. And the picture here is a river overflowing its banks. There's too much water to stay in the normal flow, so it floods out over the surrounding land. And I dare say after the last couple of days, that might be possible round about here. If you go up to Callander in particular, probably, the water overflowing. Our gratitude to God for all that he's done for us in Christ Jesus should flood over our lives to those around us. Paul is thankful for his own salvation, which compels him to tell others about God's saving grace. Thankful for the faith of those he writes to and ministers amongst. In chapter 1, verse 3, he prays with thanksgiving to God for the Colossian Christians. In verse 12, he prays that they would joyfully give thanks to God. Here, he encourages the believers to be overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing. He calls them to be thankful that they've received Christ as Lord, that they are rooted in him, that they have received good teaching. Are you thankful for your salvation today? Friends, daily I thank God that he has saved a wretched sinner like me. Daily I thank him that he's called me to himself. Daily I thank him for the privilege of being called to be under shepherd to the great shepherd of the sheep. May our lives, may our lives be filled with thankfulness. Indeed, may they be overflowing with thankfulness. Summer, Heather, Andrea, continue walking in Christ. Be rooted, be built up, be strengthened in your faith, and be thankful. Friends here today, keep going, keep growing, keep walking with Jesus. There's a commencing, there's a continuing, and listen, there's a completion as well. Completion, identifying fully with Christ. Verse 9 says, "For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority." Another translation says there, "And ye are complete in him." That word complete literally means full. We've been filled with the essence of Christ. We have been saturated in his power. The need we had when we were separated from God has been completely satisfied in Christ Jesus. We lack nothing in the Lord. We will never face anything in life or in death that is beyond his ability to control or to handle. We are secure in him. We have everything we need in Jesus. When we identify with Jesus, we have complete salvation. Baptism, as I've already pointed out this morning, is identifying with Jesus. We identify with him and his death and resurrection. We walk with him into new life. Paul says in verse 12, "Having been buried with him in baptism, raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead." We are made right with God, not by the act of baptism, but by faith in the one who raised Christ from the dead. We're not saved on the basis of some external ritual today, friends, but on the basis of who we trust. It's not about our works. It's about the work of Christ on the cross for us. It's about God's grace. Here is complete salvation. Jesus died to save you. God raised him to life again, and one day he is coming back for you to take you to be with him forever and forever. What a glorious salvation. Just let me paint that picture again of baptism, for it encompasses the whole gospel for us. When we come in faith to be baptized, we are declaring our trust in Jesus and our desire to keep following him, always in obedience. When we step down into the water, it's a picture of Jesus leaving the glories of heaven to come and walk on this earth. As we stand in the water, we symbolize Christ on the cross, surrounded by our sin. As we go under the water, we are united with him in his death. As we're brought back up from the water, we are united with him in his resurrection. And as we walk out of that tank, we are symbolizing that continued walk with Christ in baptism. We completely identify ourselves with Christ. We obediently follow that command to believe and be baptized. We declare openly and publicly our faith in Jesus. We're not ashamed. We're not hiding. We're saying freely to everyone that Jesus is my Lord. He's been my Lord since the day I trusted him in him. And he's still my Lord today, and he will still be my Lord tomorrow and on into eternity. Baptism stands as an outward testimony of an inward change. It reveals those that were dead in sin have been resurrected in Christ Jesus. It bears testimony of the death and resurrection of our Lord. And through our completeness in Christ, we experience a spiritual resurrection at the new birth with the promise of a literal resurrection when our Lord comes for his church. Friends, have you identified fully with Jesus? Have you identified fully with Jesus in baptism? Have you been obedient to that command? Or are you very good at just trying to make your excuses, however good they might be? It's time to consider that commitment afresh this morning, to remember, for some of us, to remember our own baptisms and to recommit to following Jesus ever closer, or indeed perhaps for some to make that commitment today for the first time. Maybe today is the day when you decide that you're going to be baptized in obedience to Christ's command. Friends, a baptismal service is a perfect point to remember our coming to faith in Jesus and to rejoice in our salvation. It's the right time to commit to the continued walk with Christ, to be rooted, to be built up, to be strengthened in faith, and to consider all that he has done, is doing, and will do in your life. And it's time to consider that completion, fully identifying with Christ as we are buried with him in baptism, raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. I don't know where you are today, but I encourage you to take a moment now to consider all that you have heard this morning and to consider how you will respond to God's word today. If you've never responded to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, then I encourage you, I urge you to do that now. He laid down his life so that we could pick up ours. He died so that we could be forgiven. He died so that we might live. Come this morning confessing your sin and turning away from it, but believe that Jesus died and rose again for you and crown him as Lord of your life from this moment forward. And if you do know Jesus Christ as Lord, be drawn this to him this morning to worship him for your salvation, for that great salvation, and be committed afresh to living for him from this moment forward. I know you've never been baptized. Well, maybe today's the day to declare your obedience and to put your trust in him by obediently going through the waters of baptism. Take a moment to pause and to think, and then I'll pray. Let's just pause for a moment.